Hello and welcome to A Single Serving Podcast. I'm your host, Shaney Silver. If you're listening to this, you probably found me on TikTok or Instagram and subscribe to my podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all those good things. But my podcast doesn't actually publish there. It publishes every Monday morning only on Patreon. There's a link in the show notes if you want to check it out. And what you're listening to right now is actually your holiday gift. Once a year, I like to give away one Patreon exclusive episode to everyone who has subscribed to me everywhere else. Just to give you guys an example of what you can expect if you join the Patreon. My Patreon is $5 a month. It comes with a brand new episode of the podcast every Monday morning, and you get access to the patrons-only Facebook group for this podcast. It's an incredibly supportive community. I do not allow that space to become a place where people come and bitch about dating or bitch about singlehood or tell dating horror stories. That's not what we do there. In my Facebook group, we celebrate each other and we support each other because we don't find a ton of that out in the real world. So it's a wonderful space that I'm really proud of. I am also very, very proud of all the podcast episodes that I publish in the hopes of reframing the way people experience singlehood, feel about singlehood, talk about singlehood. And I really hope that what we're doing is becoming mirrors to the outside world of what single people are and what we deserve. Also what we don't deserve, because that's pretty important too. So this episode that I'm sharing with you today as your holiday gift is one that I recorded a couple of months ago, and it was really impactful for me. It was also a fan favorite among my audience, so I thought that it was the perfect one to share. It's called The Vilification of Single Women, and it has to do with social scenarios involving singles and partnered people. A patron wrote in a question, that happens every week, by the way. I answer patron questions all the time. So essentially the podcast is fully created to give you guys what you want. So whatever questions you want me to answer, whatever topics you want me to address, I'm going to do that. And this awesome topic came from a patron who was experiencing extreme amounts of discomfort or just being left out entirely from social scenarios because they're single. You've experienced this if you've ever been out at a party or any kind of function and you felt like or were actually told through language or even just body language that you as a single person had no business speaking to someone who is married. This is most often going to show up in heterosexual scenarios where she better not be talking to my husband sort of a thing, but that's not the only situation where this happens. And how I'm going to talk about this scenario is not in a here's a tip or trick or something you can do to feel better when this happens. No. I'm digging into why this happens and what this is actually saying to and about single people and about partnered people. I don't just want to put a Band-Aid over a problem. I want to get down to the root of it so that we can evaluate for ourselves if this deserves to hurt our feelings. And I don't think that it does. So I dive very, very deeply into this topic in the episode that you're about to hear. And if you like that episode and you would like more of that every Monday morning, you can get that on Patreon. So in general, I just wanted to say to everyone who has signed up for the podcast in the past year, everyone who has followed me on social media, thank you so, so much. This was a year of connecting with a much broader audience than I was used to. And I'm very, very thankful and grateful for that. I hope to continue to do more of that in the future. I also want to say a huge thank you to everyone who has purchased and left a review for my book, A Single Revolution. It's also linked in the show notes. I wrote the book that I needed because I spent about a decade absolutely miserable as a single person in a constant state of pursuit of partnership that was never, ever rewarded by finding someone. I needed to get out of that, and I created the book and the podcast that I needed when I was at my lowest. So I hope that these tools and these moments of content and these moments of support are giving to other people what I always needed. So I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I hope that you'll consider joining us over on Patreon, and I hope everyone has a wonderful holiday season and a very happy new year. One quick note about the episode before I play it for you. It will start really abruptly. It's going to dive right into some pretty significant reframing. That's because I cut out the original introduction that was on the Patreon episode because you don't need to hear two introductions today. So if it just instantaneously starts diving pretty deep, that's why. But typically I do an introduction for my patrons. I catch up with them a bit. I discuss how they can participate in upcoming episodes, all sorts of good stuff. So I will play this for you. It's going to dive right in. Really quickly, so don't be alarmed. Regarding today's episode, I had intended to get into many patron emails today, but honestly, the next one was a doozy, and it's going to take this entire episode for me to fully address it. So as usual, keep sending in your questions and topics you'd like me to cover on anything that pertains to our single world. Keep emailing them to me, and I promise you, my list of your emails and your questions, it does not budge until I answer every single one. So if you've asked me something and I haven't gotten to it yet, it is still on the list and it is still coming, I assure you. So for this one, before I get into it, a topic that's been coming up for me a lot recently and also out in the single ether is the idea of couplehood superiority. And if you've known me for any length of time, you might know that I think that's bullshit. I don't believe in couplehood superiority. I don't believe that single people should have to defer to couples as if they are better than us. I do not like the idea, the societal idea, that people in couples are better than single people and that single people should have to lower themselves to couples. That's not going to fly with me. So this episode's going to be spicy and just hang on because I guess it's more important to me than I thought because I read this email from a patron, a lovely patron, and a lot came out. So let's go. This is the email that I'm responding to today from a patron. Hi, Shani. How do you deal with coupled female friends getting jealous or angry for talking with their spouse? I tend to find that I only get invited to some events if I'm in a couple, which is bullshit. I live in a rural community and I work in agriculture, which is a male-dominated industry. So at parties and out in public, I naturally connect better with men talking about work, and I've faced backlash on and off from their wives, who are friends, that think I'm hitting on their husband. But when I'm dating someone, it's not a problem. Another single friend has even told me that she will avoid talking to men at parties to avoid such backlash. I think it's completely messed up that single women should have to stick to talking to women. Otherwise, it's assumed you're a homewrecker trying to take their husband. I fully realize it's stemming from their insecurities, but how do I get rid of the anxiety of worrying about women thinking I'm after their spouse? Thanks. Well, my friend, you are right about the bullshit part. This is a running theme in singlehood, and I'm not sure I've ever done a full deep dive into it, so let's fucking do it now because I am already sweating and my nose is running just reading that email. Like, my body is having a visceral reaction to that. Awesome email, by the way, and thank you for asking this question. Our singlehood is not a threat to partnered women. That is just facts. The existence of a single woman in a room does not threaten a marriage or a partnership in any way, shape, or form. A single woman having a conversation with a married man does not threaten a marriage in any way, shape, or form. The threat to the marriage is coming from inside the marriage. If a marriage can't take normal social activity, then maybe, I don't know, maybe it doesn't belong around other people. Rather than keeping the single people at home so as to never have to deal with your own insecure married shit. I'm telling you, shit gets very, very aggressive in this episode. Single people never need to stay home so that married people don't have to go to therapy. If you take nothing else away from this episode, remember that single people never need to stay home, silence themselves, or lower themselves so that married people don't have to go to therapy. As single people, especially as single people listening to this podcast, we deal with our shit. It isn't easy for a single person to be in a room full of married people. It can feel isolating. It can carry shame. It can feel like a very uncomfortable spotlight is on you. You can feel very out of place. I know that feeling intimately, and I know you do too. We have to do the work to have the strength to go out in a room among people who have found partners when we haven't, and it's hard. And then you're telling me we're supposed to take on an added burden of specifically avoiding any married man in the room lest we tempt him with our sexy, sexy singleness? Come the fuck on. The way this shit makes me laugh, given how seldom men talk to me in the wild in the first place, like, I can't. As an aside, and you know I love an aside, I think I'm more likely to be spoken to by married men than single men, not because they're interested in me, but because the situation itself is not pressured, or charged. He's married. I know he's married. There is no potential for anything beyond friendship. So the interactions are actually more relaxed. Like, the idea of attraction is genuinely never on the fucking table. I have had such great conversations with married and partnered men, and great friendships with them too. Honestly, you guys, it is actually single men that avoid talking to me like my teeth are made of knives. And I think it's because they're so chicken shit that I'll catch feelings and they'll have to bear the responsibility of being half of an actual partnership instead of just someone who employs a fuck 'em and ghost 'em strategy because that's so much fun and there are never any consequences for it. Meanwhile, let's see how that works out when they're 50. I told you it'd be spicy. I will not catch feelings for men like that, by the way. Do not worry. But they don't know that. So when I'm out in public, honestly, I'm usually talking to people in couples, together or one member of the couple alone, of any gender, because that's who's not terrified of me. I was out the other night, like 3 days ago, and I met an awesome couple. They were gay, so there was really no agenda to the conversation, but I say this, and we'll link back to this in a little while, because when I talk about married people and single people, I know there's often a lot of like an animosity tone to it, I guess. But truly, I think that married people and single people should be on the same team because there is so much room for friendship there. Anyway, single women are not a threat to partnered women or what they have. Partnered women's insecurity is a threat to partnered women and what they have, because I think if you're going to have an iron grip on something with your insecurity as your motivation, it's not going to last as long as you think it will. We as single women did not cause that insecurity, and therefore we are not responsible for mitigating it. But singlehood narratives, the bullshit ones, remember, tell both singles and marrieds, bitch better not be talking to my husband. It's the vilification of singlehood, and bet your ass I have thoughts. So many thoughts. To begin, single and married women hating each other does not serve either one. It only serves the patriarchy, and let's get that the fuck out of the way right now. If women are always in competition with each other for men, men never have to be in competition with themselves, inside of themselves. They never have to elevate their behavior. If the idea is that women will fight over men, why would men bother to be better? If there's a seemingly endless amount of women clamoring for them, however they happen to show up, even if it's in flip-flops and a stained t-shirt to a first date, true story. It's a very, I can leave the toilet seat up mentality because my woman won't leave me because being single is worse than being with me. And yes, I'm aware that this is a very heterosexual and somewhat sexist section of the podcast right now, and not everyone is going to identify here. This is for those who will identify and who do not deserve to move through life avoiding speaking to human beings for fear of pissing off an insecure woman. I don't want single straight women living in fear. I don't want single women of any sexual orientation living in fear, and other people's insecurities that we've been trained to fear, that's a bitch fight the patriarchy made. And we are so much better than that. Because single women and married women are not in competition with each other. And honestly, I've seen quite a bit of social media discussion that is the exact reverse of the old narratives. We're moving from bitch, don't talk to my husband to no one wants your dusty man. And I like it. I like that. I am here for, and maybe this is like a roundabout way to get at this truth, but I am here for the truth that what is meant for us will not miss us. And if that man is meant for another woman, which it's clear he is, he married her, there is no competition taking place. I am here for any clear understanding that what is yours, and what is mine will be far more tailored to me than whatever man you happened to marry, because he was for you, not for me. There is no room for jealousy when you understand that what is ours will be ours. Someone else's marriage isn't taking away from your future happiness. And I like to think that everyone in this community knows that at this point. I know that it's not a concept widely discussed. I know that instead we're fed jealousy narrative after jealousy narrative after jealousy narrative, predominantly through social media. But listen, you have to grasp. I know I don't directly tell you what to do very often, but if I may suggest that you grasp the idea that someone else finding happiness, however they define happiness, even if it is your exact definition of happiness too, someone else finding that does not take away from you. It does not take away from your potential for happiness. It does not take away from what's coming to you in your life. It cannot take away anything from you that you don't give it. Other people's happiness has nothing to do with you. If you have not read my book yet, I spend a lot of time on this. There's a reason I wrote that book for this community, because I want us to feel better. And when I get into the chapter on comparison, it's chapter 9, this is what I am talking about. We cannot insert ourselves into other people's stories, because that's where jealousy lives. That's where "why did she find it and I can't" festers. And it's gross and it's a waste of your energy. And honestly, I think it's a bit childish. And I would rather help to elevate the single community beyond these fucking useless, waste of time jealousy narratives. Because someone else's marriage doesn't say anything about you. Someone else's marriage doesn't take away from any of your happiness. There is this gut punch that happens to single people when we see someone else being happy or finding the happiness that we want. Jealousy is such a waste of your energy, and you know that my suggestion is to transmute that, reframe that into a reminder of what's possible. Instead of "why did she find it and I can't," change it to "she found it, therefore I can." She found it, therefore it exists. Reminders of what exists, reminders of what's possible, instead of just this fucking jealousy fodder that is a waste of our time. Anyway, back to the topic at hand. I cannot stomach the idea that the world sees single women as people who just want to be with anyone, and therefore any married man in her vicinity is a potential opportunity for theft. We are not fucking vampires thirsty for blood. We are human beings with self-worth enough to know that we deserve what we want, not what you happen to have. I swear, it's like people think we're just in this constant like Scooby-Doo caper of like trying to steal somebody's partner. It's the assumption for me. It is the assumption that a single woman let loose in the wild is a danger. Over and over again, and yet that could not be further from the truth, from the real actual truth of what's happening in the room in the moment. And these narratives are so pervasive that these narratives, these fantasies, take over from what's actually happening in front of people's eyes. Single women are not villains. And you know how I know that singlehood was the thing that I wanted to reframe, the thing that I wanted to create my career around? Because you've got these vilification narratives of the single woman stealing someone's husband, and you've also got the pathetic, desperate narratives of the single woman alone, sad and crying on the couch. Which one fucking is it? Which one is it? There is not one positive, widely accepted societal narrative of single women. There isn't. There will be when I'm fucking done. But right now, it's just unsavory narrative after unsavory narrative, and they don't serve us. And since I can't snap my fingers and make the world at large understand what singlehood actually is, I'm starting with you. And I'm hopefully changing your mind and allowing you to go out in the world and be a reflection, be a demand that society see single women differently, that society see single women with more truth, more validity, more respect. I want that, because fucked up things don't sit well with me. Fucked up narratives don't sit well with me. And I don't have to be silent, because I bought a microphone and I decided to make a podcast. So I get to help change the fucking narrative. My next point, the idea that when we ourselves have partners, we get a free pass from other women's glares, stares, and remarks, that gives me a rash. Because a romantic partnership is not armor. A romantic partnership is not a nightclub wristband that says safe to allow around other people's husbands. Romantic partners are not our safe passage into social situations free from vilification because we should never have been vilified. We do not need permission, approval, or the fucking chaperoning of a romantic partner in order to be let loose around married men. Like we're dogs or cattle. Just nope, pen those up until they have someone to lead them out by the hand and watch them all night. You got to keep those in the back until they have somebody with them, please. Also, I'm not even going to start on affairs that happen between two people who are both partnered. I just want you to know that I could. The way a partner stamps our ass with, okay, this one's safe, is so fucking demeaning and childish to me. This whole thing is so childish to me. The way this world makes single women children is embarrassing. The world should be embarrassed. It's an extension of that shit where single people get sat at the kids' table, where single people are not considered graduated into adulthood until they have a partner. It's an extension of that. These narratives that assume that single women are constantly starving for their romantic partner and only when they have one are they satiated enough to be unchained from their couch and let out amongst social gatherings. I could slap someone. This makes me so fucking angry. You do not need a romantic partner to be considered safe or invitable by insecure women or men. And it's okay to let people know that you matter as a social human being, even when you're single, because apparently they don't know that. And if they are too fragile to still invite you when you're single, that's showing where they are lacking emotional maturity, not where you are lacking a partner. And honestly, I'd say no to invites from people like this anyway. Like, no, thank you. We are only responsible for our own growth and our own reframing. Someone who can't witness a woman speaking to her husband without her jealousy narratives kicking in, has a lot of her own growth work to do and potentially some couples therapy to do. And you are not responsible for that. You are also never responsible for preventing every married woman alive from ever feeling insecure or jealous. That's not your job. Her feelings are not your job. Which leads me to the real crux of this email, which is brilliantly worded. How do I get rid of the anxiety of worrying about women thinking I'm after their spouse? Notice this patron is talking about getting rid of their own anxiety rather than behaving in a way that gets rid of someone else's. So bravo to this patron. We are never going to get rid of other people's insecurities or anxieties. So instead, we have to take ownership over our own anxious narratives. And then we get to reframe them, and then we get to live that reframe, and then we get to feel a lot better all the time. That's what we get to do while someone else has to live locked inside of insecurity and jealousy. I feel bad for them, I do. I have empathy there. And I hope they find the growth work that they need. And I hope they find the sense of security, not just in their partnership, but in themselves, because I think they deserve that. I don't think anybody deserves to move through life feeling insecure and feeling like one false move could bring her relationship down crumbling at her feet. That's not a way to live, and I don't wish that on anyone. But I talk to single people. So being single is not a wrong way to be. Again, the whole book is based on that premise. Being single is not a wrong way to be. Further, being single is not a threatening way to be. And maybe most importantly for this episode, being single does not burden us with the responsibility of behaving in a way that never triggers a married person. This is that superiority I was talking about. We are not walking around trying to trigger people. We are just trying to live exactly as normally as they do. And if a married person can socialize, so can a single person. The vilification of a single woman, the narrative that she is a threat, is designed to keep single women ashamed and small. We do not bear the responsibility of making sure other people's marriages are secure and happy by existing as little as possible. Their marriage is their job, not yours. And casual small talk in public is only a threat to people who have serious issues of their own, issues that you are not responsible for. That's how you let go of the anxiety. This is not your problem. Your behavior is not the problem because you're not going after anyone's spouse. Your singlehood is not the problem because that does not imply that you are going after someone's spouse. This is not your problem. It is theirs. And every time you make yourself smaller, you reiterate to them that they're right when they think it's the single women that are the problem, not the relationship that they've got. Don't reinforce their bullshit narratives by playing along with them. You have nothing to do with someone else's marriage, ever. Even when you communicate with a married person, we are going to rewrite the narrative that single women are a threat. In my lifetime, we are going to rewrite that because it is so fucking insulting. It is so insulting, especially given the dating culture that we're working with. Like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Single women are a threat? You think we have the energy for that after the dating culture that we're dealing with? You gotta be fucking kidding me. It's one shit pile after another. And I hate talking about things in such a negative way, but dating culture has become an absolute, like, there's a big truck outside, sorry. Really? Dating culture has become such a toxic, flaming dumpster. That's what we're dealing with. That's the world that we're dealing with on the dating side of things. And then to be insulted in a casual social situation that has nothing to do with dating at all, I find that offensive twice. Anyway, your behavior never has to compensate or make up for the fact that you're single. Because the fact that you're single isn't wrong, and the fact that you're single isn't threatening. You don't have to be tethered to another human being to be considered safe by other people. Your existence is not a threat to them. I do not care if married women expect you as a single woman to lower yourself to them. That is a bullshit expectation, and I am very comfortable if that expectation is not met. Disappoint a married woman by leaving the house. Because what have you really done that's threatening? What about a single woman living and breathing or speaking in conversation is actually threatening? Or is this nothing more than an imagined narrative meant to keep both single and married women in their little boxes of obedience? You are never living or behaving at a level below married or partnered people because you're single. They are not above you in any way. They are not more right than you in any way, and you never owe them deference and priority. You never, ever owe them deference and priority because you were never below them. They're lowering you. They are actively lowering someone because they want to be more important. They want to be right. They want to be superior, and they are not. There is nothing about a marriage that makes someone superior to someone who is single. Nothing. And if you think there is, please tell me what it is. Please tell me. If anyone listening to this can tell me what it is about a marriage that makes someone superior to someone who is single, please let me know. Please let me know. Because you know my ass will turn it into content meanwhile, but I want to know. Is there really anything you think makes married people superior to single people? I'm so curious. Anyway, so you don't have to live your life in fear of other people's insecurities, other women's insecurities. You also don't have to live your life in fear of backlash. This is a big one for me. Like, I don't like living in fear of other people's responses. I don't like that fear quieting single people. I don't like that fear guiding the behavior of single people. I don't like us avoiding things because we're afraid. Because that thing we're afraid of is bullshit. It's kind of like when you walk down a dark hallway in your house at night and you're afraid, but there's nothing there. Like, I hope this discussion is a nightlight for you. There's nothing there to be afraid of. So there is no reason to alter your behavior or alter your self-worth or alter your feelings about yourself because you've never done anything wrong in this way. I don't know what you've done otherwise, but your existence as a single person, even your speech coming out of your mouth to a married man, that isn't something you've done that's wrong. So you don't have to live your life in fear of their backlash. And this is going to sound weird, but let them lash back. What is their backlash, really? When your behavior, when your intentions aren't actually threatening, how fucking bad could their backlash even be? It's someone taking out their own insecurities on you. And this entire situation has the benefit of being total bullshit at its root. You are not trying to steal someone's spouse, and just because they think you are, that does not make their thoughts your facts. Just because they think it, that doesn't make it true. Remember, there's no superiority here. None. They are not more correct than you just because they're partnered. We do not have to default to the married woman being right ever, but definitely not when we know she's wrong. This kind of backlash is an expulsion of assumptions and fantasies from someone else's head into the real world where you have every right to be. And listen, I think she came by those narratives honestly, because I think she was taught them. Decades and generations have taught them to her. And that's not to like completely absolve a single woman from vilifying, or to absolve a married woman from vilifying a single woman, but just having some empathy and knowing that these narratives were fed to her too, and she's never had reason to reframe them because she doesn't listen to my podcast, I'm assuming. So, maybe a moment of like gentleness and empathy is allowed, but lowering yourself to her is never required. Never required. And there is a way to communicate with empathy and softness and warmth for sure. But in this moment, I don't have it. I just want to be really clear. I don't have it because I'm tired of this narrative and I want to burn it down. So if it stings on the way down, I don't think I care. Because this shit has been stinging single women for long enough. So if you hear or feel, I don't want you talking to my husband, you don't have to do this. If you don't have the bandwidth, you can just finish your wine and leave. But what's wrong with saying, how is me talking to your husband something that's wrong? Make them tell you. How is it wrong? What specifically makes it inappropriate? What specifically about a single woman is so fucking dangerous? And don't say her singlehood. Don't say the fact that she's single is what's dangerous, because partnered people have affairs with each other all the fucking time. So make them tell you, what is it about a single woman that is so much of a threat? How does who I am carry so much of a threat to someone else's partnership? Speaking is not flirting. And single women do not exist in a perpetual state of flirt. Again, anyone who thinks that we do has zero perspective into what a single life is actually like, and also doesn't have much to do with their time, because we are tired. Dating is exhausting. Moving through the world as a single person with these dead-ass narratives, that's exhausting. We do not exist in a perpetual state of flirting with people. We engage in planned flirting in situations that have a decent likelihood of return on investment. And the only returns of flirting with a married man are detrimental. They are detrimental to that partnership. They are potentially detrimental to a family. And most significantly, they are detrimental to the single woman herself. Because that's the one that's going to get the most shit upon, I guarantee you. We are not fucking stupid. We are too smart to flirt where it is wasted. And we are definitely too smart to flirt where it's dangerous. Do you want some more options for like responses in this situation? Because I have them. I made them for you. Would you like them? Here we go. So if you hear, I don't want you talking to my husband, maybe try, I'm not at fault for existing as a single person in a social situation. If my existence threatens your partnership, the partnership is the problem, not me. If me chatting with your husband at a birthday party about a true crime miniseries is that threatening to your partnership, honey, I gotta tell you, I'm not the problem. I'm really not. You are creating a negative situation. I am just living my valid life. Because that's what's happening. They're creating a negative situation where one does not exist. They are creating the negative situation where one does not exist. Remember that. You didn't create the negativity by existing as a single person. They created the negativity by assuming something vilified about your singlehood that isn't really there. Want another one? How is a single person having normal conversations in public a threat to your marriage? Make them tell you, because they are not superior to you and you are not below them. If they're going to say something to you, like, don't talk to my husband, make them fucking tell you why. You can also tell them, your marriage doesn't determine my behavior. My behavior is not inherently disrespectful of your marriage simply because I'm a single person. The fact that I haven't found my partner yet cannot and does not imply that I'll just take anyone else's. It's so assumptive, right? To assume that if a married man is in the vicinity of a single woman, that single woman wants that married man. Again, we are not rabid dogs just attracted to any man in the vicinity. Like, come on. The existence of a single person in a social situation is not an insult or a threat to the married people in the room. The only threat to the relationships in the room is the problems within those relationships themselves. And that's another thing you're allowed to have empathy for. Because they do exist. And I'm sure it's really, really fucking hard and painful and difficult to be having difficulties in your relationship and to see your partner out speaking to somebody who is still single. I'm sure that's a difficult thing to see. But just because it's difficult for you, that doesn't mean that single person is a threat to you. I think that people in happy, secure partnerships don't give a shit about small talk with singles. I really don't think they care. I see it every time I go out socially. Like, I really don't think that people who are in happy, secure partnerships give a shit about me talking with their partners. Out socially, like just in life, like how the fuck can that be threatening? You decide who you want to be around, honestly. You decide what kind of people you want to spend your time around. And you have more options than just insecure people. I have to believe that. And if you really don't, then it's definitely time to put some effort into inserting yourself into new social situations, making new friends, finding new hobbies, finding new places for community. Because you don't deserve to just be around insecure people who see you as threatening when you are not one. We are all equally human, equally worthy, and equally allowed to be wherever we are. Single women do not have to stay home to avoid making a wife jealous. If they can't be trusted to exist in social situations, maybe these husbands need to stay the fuck home, rather than excluding the single people who haven't done a damn thing wrong. They can stay home, not us. And one last response for the truly adventurous. If someone says, I don't want you talking to my husband, how about this? Single people are allowed to exist in public without backlash from insecure married women. I'm not stealing your husband. I'm leaving the house. And there's a fucking difference. Anyway, those are just some reframed options for the single community who I don't think should have to live under the burden of making sure that no wives get their feelings hurt ever. Because we're not doing anything with the intention of hurting those feelings. We're not doing anything that even should hurt those feelings. What I will not have is women living lives burdened by the fear of pissing off married women. I will not have that. Your normal behavior isn't something worthy of being pissed off at in the first place. I would rather a married woman give me backlash than me silence or limit myself in the world. Single women are not threats. We are just human beings like married women are. Okay, now that I have gotten out what I would consider to be a substantial amount of anger, how about a positive spin, Shaney? Let's try one. Okay, so I don't like the idea that married women and single women are on opposing teams. I think pitting women against each other is a waste of women's time, and I also think that it's pure entertainment for a patriarchal society that does not deserve to be entertained. At least not that way. I think single women and married women, all of us, should be the best of fucking friends. And here's why. People in couples hang out together a lot based on who they were friends with before they partnered. And the people that those people happen to be partnered with, or people that were brought into a friendship with the couple through one member of that couple. Partners bring their friends and their friends' partners into the friend fold. That's how friend groups form. So married women are sitting on this golden opportunity right now to shape their own friend community around them. And single women, if we want it, have an opportunity to meet the single people that the married woman knows. Her husband presumably has friends. She presumably has male friends or colleagues. Can we stop fighting each other over some married man and start talking about the single people we have not met yet? Can we do that? Talk to married women. Befriend them. Your friend circle grows. And if they know someone for you, their social circle gets to grow too in precisely the way they want it to. Would they not want to handpick the people their friends are dating? Oh my God, I love your taste in jewelry. Do you shop at that store? Have you been to the really great restaurant that's like right around the corner from it? Yes. Oh my God, it's the best. Oh my God, it's so nice to meet someone with similar taste to mine. This never happens. Let me know if you're free for dinner one night this week. I hear there's a great prefix menu happening at this restaurant nearby from where we are right now. Just casual. Just fucking keep it casual. It's really not hard to get on the same team, to make some new friends, and then maybe make further connections beyond those friendships. At some point, she's going to realize you're awesome And if she knows an awesome single man that you're compatible with, he will come to mind too. And if that never happens, if she never fixes you up with anyone, who gives a shit? You made a new friend. And that's a really big deal. Honestly, I think married women should start seeing single women as opportunities for more and new friends. And as a bonus, a chance to bring together two people romantically if they are well suited to one another. We are missing friendship opportunities because we are too focused on the old ass narratives that single women are perpetually trying to steal what's taken. We don't want what's taken. We want what's free. That is allowed to be the narrative. And honestly, I think we're allowed to ask married women for help. Because you know what else is true? They're not in competition with us. By the way, single people are not in competition with each other for the sake of argument. This is what I'm saying. Married women are married. They're not interested in the single men in their lives. I hope. But they might be interested in helping people come together where it's appropriate. We do not have to be on opposing teams. We get to be on the same team, one where friendship, community, and potentially even new romantic connections can thrive. And even if that married woman knows no one for you romantically, she is still a potential friend. Everyone is. And I know this community knows the value of friends. And I know this community knows the value of friendship in much more balance to the value of romantic relationships. Because we've been talking about this for nearly 4 years now. We've been talking about balance for nearly 4 years now. One kind of relationship is not above another. Genuine, true friendship can have just as much value and benefit and joy in your life as a romantic partnership can. And I don't know if this is true for everyone, but even if I was in the best romantic relationship ever, the love of my life, my genuine partner forever, I still think the brightness would be turned down on it if I didn't have any friends. I really do. I think we need it all. And I think we deserve it all. And I'm not saying that we'll be able to make friends with every married woman we meet, but there's no reason why that can't be our intention. This community is not a threat to the married community, to the partnered community. This community has enough shit to worry about without involving ourselves in the mess of other people's partnerships. So how can you release anxiety? By remembering that you have just as much right to be in every room and every conversation as anyone who is married. You are not a threat. You are a human being. And anyone who views you as a threat is the person who has work to do, not you. My stars, that felt like a lot, but if we're going to change narratives, let's fucking change them. You know what I mean? I don't mince or waste words with this community because it's been done enough. It's been done for long enough. The narratives have been imposed upon us long enough. The assumption that we are villains, it's been there for long enough. It has been there for long enough, and it was never true. But yet somehow we're the ones that continually have to fight it, continually have to deal with it, process it, pay to deal with it in therapy. No, thank you. No, thank you. I will not have this community believing that we have to lower or quiet ourselves so that we never, ever trigger a married person or slightly upset a married person or make a married person worry at a public happy hour that if a single woman is talking to her husband that her marriage is going to end. That's insane. That is insane. If you really don't think your marriage can survive a conversation with a single woman, that is so your problem, not ours. We don't have to stay home to protect the marriages of the world. We don't have to stay quiet and silent to protect the marriages of the world. We don't only have to talk to the person of our same gender in the heterosexual space to protect all of those marriages. We don't have to do that. We don't have to walk on the eggshells imposed upon us by insecure married people. That is not our responsibility. And I think it is going to take some practice in the real world. I think it is going to take putting this into practice for yourself and understanding that you're not a threat and living as though you're not, to feel comfortable and confident in that space, because these narratives have put us in a really self-worth diminishing space for a long time. So yeah, it might take a little bit of practice to be comfortable. But when your intention is not to steal someone's spouse, it's really, really hard for that to be the case in real life. It's shit in people's heads, and I don't think single people should pay for it. And I think that's all I'm going to say about it. But anyway, a huge thank you to the patron who asked this question. I was not anticipating having this much to say, but I do have this much to say, because I can't sit with the superiority narrative of couples, because they're not superior to single people, nor are single people superior to couples. There is balance and equalness between both. Both are equally valid and valuable. And we're going to start putting that into practice, because we're on my watch now, and I say so. Anyway, patrons, I love you so much. You're the reason this podcast is nearly 4 years strong. The podcast will turn 4 years old in 2023. I am so looking forward to our holiday season episodes, to a beautiful start to the new year. I hope everyone is doing well. I hope you are giving yourself so much kindness, so much support, and so much grace. And I will talk to you again in a week.